I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
Is there any chance that Bill O'Brien decides to fire Bill O'Brien?
Right. I mean, they scored 6 points in the first half with Bill O'Brien as the self-appointed play caller.
You would think. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. You would think. I'm Will Brinson. You would think that we were joking about Bill O'Brien getting fired. We were. That was our Sunday week four recap podcast when the Houston Texans fell. You can tell by the change in my voice. 31-23, the Texans fell to the Minnesota Vikings, falling to 0-4. In fact, while writing Sorting the Sunday Pile, my weekly column, I spent like 3 hours looking at that game and 1,000 words writing about the Texans and what the future hold for the Texans. Before I could turn it in, Bill O'Brien was fired. This is the Emergency Pick Six Podcast. As we break down, myself, John Breach, and Ryan Wilson, we look at Bill O'Brien, fired not just as head coach of the Houston Texans, but also as general manager. So he did not fire himself. Cal McNair fired both Bill O'Brien, the head coach, and Bill O'Brien, the GM.
You know what's funny? Well, even though we had that opening clip where obviously we all thought this was a possibility, I still thought it was shocking to do it at this point because before this season started, I think we were all assuming that the Texans would start off 0-3. They had the Chiefs, they had the Ravens, they had the Steelers. So best case scenario, they're 1-3 after 4 weeks. Their overruled pass in the end zone against the Vikings on Sunday from being 1-3. You know, it was called a touchdown in the final seconds and they overturned an incomplete Vikings win. Now they're 0-4. So I just think it's interesting to make a mid-season firing after you just promoted him to general manager. He just got the general manager job in January, coming off of two straight playoff appearances as a coach. So, it did feel like the team was kind of losing faith in him. And I don't know what Bill O'Brien was thinking on Friday or Saturday that, hey, look, I don't think I have enough jobs in this organization. I'm going to make myself offensive coordinator too. Well, when you have 3 jobs, coach, general manager, offensive coordinator, all the pressure's on you. And if you don't produce, you're the fall guy. You can't pick a fall guy. You can't fire your offensive coordinator or your GM or your head coach because you're all 3. So in that sense, you know, I see why the Texans did what they did.
See, this is why I feel like it's better for you to do the Pick Six Podcast newsletter, Breach, because, you know, if you do have to do multiple jobs, you're not going to be as good at like each job. That's why it works out better for me not to do the newsletter and to host the podcast. Ryan, it was
subscribe to the newsletter.
I meant to plug the newsletter. Yeah. Go to cbssports.com/newsletter. I think that's right. Newsletters. Click on the Pick Six link and subscribe. Breach is writing it every day. Please support John Breach, our super friend buddy, by subscribing to this newsletter. You support the podcast if you do it. It'll just show up and you read it every morning. It'd be a daily dose of NFL football.
We won't get there till 2 p.m.
That's right. December 31st, 2013 is when Bill O'Brien, CBSSports.com/newsletters. Bill O'Brien was hired on Christmas Eve in 2013. On June 7th, 2019, Brian Gain was fired as general manager. Gain had replaced Rick Smith, who along with the late McNair owner had helped hire Bill O'Brien. Cal McNair took over.
And Rick Smith left because his wife was ill. So that's why he stepped away.
Yes, that is correct.
The old owner, died in November 2018.
Correct. Bob McNair died in 2018. There were some rumblings about how it would be handled. Cal McNair took over as chairman and CEO. So Cal McNair then fired Brian Gain. They brought in Jack Easterby, who was the Patriots chaplain. And now, and then, what was the date that Bill O'Brien was actually named general manager?
January of this year.
So January 2020, they named Bill O'Brien the official acting general manager. And then on October 5th, 2020, Bill O'Brien fired by both Jack Easterby, not fired. I mean, that is a timeline.
Yeah, a couple things. Breach mentions sort of weird that all the jobs that he was taking on. Jason Lockenford tweeted this out shortly after Bill O'Brien was fired. He'd been clashing with prominent players at practice, as reported on Sunday, JLC did. Taking over play calling duties was his last attempt to salvage things. Clearly that did not work out. Jack Easterby is in charge of the organization with O'Brien out as GM and head coach. We know that part already. Also, every podcast, I always bring up Jim Caldwell, 97 in back-to-back years. Well, guess what? Bill O'Brien went 10-6, 11-5 in back-to-back years, and he's out of a job because of that 0-4 start. But also because, as we've noted millions of times and since he was hired as general manager in January, you can't do both jobs. It's just not in this day and age. And I don't know what his resume – where on his resume it shows that he would probably be good at being a general manager in addition to being a head coach, in addition to calling plays as he did and their loss there that cost him his job at the end of the day. And, you know, I think a lot of this falls on Cal McNair. Maybe he didn't want to be owner. Maybe he liked it when his dad ran things and he did whatever his role was with the organization. But you can't have Bill O'Brien doing everything. And I don't want to say Bill O'Brien has a history of not getting along with players. But, you know, DeAndre Hopkins wasn't happy when he left, and maybe that was a confluence of events. And clearly the players here weren't happy. And one of the issues that players weren't happy about reportedly, I don't know if JLC reported this or someone else did, the Earl Thomas thing. Like, he wanted to bring in Earl Thomas, and the players like, no, we don't want Earl Thomas. And I think it's a clear indication when the Ravens are like a very stable organization, like, you know what? We're better off without Earl Thomas. And then Bill O'Brien's knee-jerk reaction is, well, let's bring him in and see what happens.
So I would say that it reminds me a little bit of Chip Kelly's situation in Philadelphia in the sense that, by the way, both were hired in 2013, part of the same coaching class, I think. Isn't that right? Because Andy Reid was fired after the 2013 season. Am I crazy? That's correct.
No, right? Chip Kelly's first year was 2013.
Oh, you're right, because Andy Reid jumped to 2013.
O'Brien's first full season in Houston was 2014.
Okay, carry on. Ignore that point. But I do think that the situations are similar in the fact that Chip Kelly, the coach, was actually pretty good at Philadelphia. Chip Kelly, the GM, a total disaster. And I think the same can apply to Bill O'Brien. He was a good coach. He won a bunch of football games. He won a division title with Brian Hoyer. He won a division title with Brock Osweiler. But if you look at the personnel moves that Bill O'Brien made from the minute that Brian Gain was fired, it is up and down disastrous and like, I mean, chump level stuff, like basic, like you could give a copy of Madden to your 7-year-old cousin and he wouldn't make them. Let's start. 2 months after Gain was fired, he trades, for Laremy Tunsil from the Dolphins for a first round pick in the 2020 NFL draft. And then this upcoming first round pick and second round pick. That is a problem.
Trade for Laremy Tunsil? Not terrible.
Fine.
The terms of the deal, horrific.
Horrific. Trades all those picks for Laremy Tunsil. You give up. Now, they are 0-4. Just fired their head coach. Look like they're lost on offense and defense. And their number one pick, which is like right now, if the season ended, would be a top five pick, is going to the Miami Dolphins. We joked about this on the podcast, but like it could be the top overall pick. Moving along from that timeline.
And your second pick is going to the Miami Dolphins.
Right. Yeah. Then he franchise tagged Jadeveon Clowney and traded him while also paying like 3/4 of his salary to Seattle for a 3rd-round pick. A notable move last year that sort of flew under the radar right after the Clowney thing. He had signed Aaron Colvin to a $34 million contract and cut him after he'd signed him in the offseason in 2018 and cut him after 1 week in 2019. That was an insane move that only a guy who is both the coach and GM would make. He traded DeAndre Hopkins, as noted on this emergency podcast.
Wait a second. But here's the thing about that DeAndre Hopkins trade that we sometimes forget the timeline. So we see the news because everything's going crazy over the spring.
oh, the Texans are going to trade for David Johnson. Okay, let's see what the terms are. This may not be terrible. They need help at running back. They'll have DeAndre. Oh my God, they traded DeAndre Hopkins for David. So
I think they were like, what? This is a terrible deal. They're paying a salary. And then they're like, and by the way, they added in DeAndre Hopkins. We're like, what? Like, what?
So, right. He doubled down
he also gave Laremy Tunsil with no agent a contract $5 million above the ceiling of left tackles on the market. What else am I missing?
But real quick, the Texans knew the DeAndre Hopkins trade was craptastic because of the way they leaked it. Like Ryan said, the David Johnson news came out about 20 minutes before and everybody's like, well, what did the Texans get? You know, like if they gave a fourth round pick for David Johnson, they could end up winning this trade.
Right.
And all of a sudden, DeAndre Hopkins is leaked like a half hour later. I mean, it was just insane that it took that long for all that entire trade to be tied together. Cause they knew that they got bet over on that trade and Bill O'Brien didn't care.
And I'm trying to think what other moves that he made. I mean, is that it? Is there more? Is it worse? There's something else that he did that I'm forgetting, but
they gave a monstrous contract to Brock Osweiler and we can put that on the old GM, but that GM is not doing that it's a quarterback, you know, unless the head coach signs off on that move, you're not giving Brock Osweiler that kind of money. So that wasn't a great move because then they basically gave away Brock Osweiler to the Cleveland Browns. They just so the Browns would pick up the salary cap space, the Browns would pay. So this is just insane. It's literally insane what they've done since O'Brien's been coach.
And to break it down further, because I just Googled Bill O'Brien bad moves, and there's probably 45 articles that popped up immediately. SB Nation wrote about this in May after the trade we just talked about. Part of the issue that made Texans fans really angry was that they did not get a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. And sure. There was this tweet by NFL Update. Wide receivers traded for a first-round pick. Percy Harvin, Roy Williams, Joey Galloway, Pierce Price, Keyshawn Johnson, Brandon Cooks again. Amari Cooper, Odell Beckham, Randy Moss, and not DeAndre Hopkins.
Stephon Diggs in the same offseason as DeAndre Hopkins.
Right, and that came later, I think, and it was just more of a slam dunk, cue the music for Bill O'Brien as the GM. And you mentioned Javion Clowney. They only got a third rounder for him. In exchange, the Texans got a 2020 third round pick, linebackers Markavius Mingo and Jacob Martin.
Well, and remember, too, that Dee Ford and Frank Clark – had both fetched either first or high second round picks on the open market as franchise tag pass rushers. And Clowney, you can't get a third round pick. You get a third round pick for him. It was like every deal that Bill O'Brien made as a GM. What's that?
I forgot about this one. And I love Duke Johnson. The Texans gave up a third round pick for Duke Johnson.
Oh my God.
And an offensive lineman for Carlos Hyde.
I mean, every move they made.
They gave up a second round pick for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. No, they traded DeAndre Hopkins. Got a second round pick back along with David Johnson and then flipped that second round pick for Brandon Cooks. So you basically traded DeAndre Hopkins for Brandon Cooks and David Johnson. And I would say that it was never more evident if you're a Texans fan or Cal McNair than watching that game against the Vikings. The play calling was abysmal from Bill O'Brien. He ran David Johnson into the middle of the line. It's very clear David Johnson just doesn't have the same burst he used to. And they were running these pass plays where it's like long developing routes for Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, and DeAndre Hopkins was actually protected. Deshaun Watson was actually protected, but then would hold the ball or, you know, wouldn't trust it. And the Vikings just played a basic zone. He got outcoached and outmaneuvered at every level. And by the way, this is a weird one. So we're recording this at 6 p.m. Eastern. In roughly 30 or 45 minutes, Bill O'Brien will be made available via Zoom call. When was the last time you saw that happen?
I can tell you exactly when Hugh Jackson. Remember when Hugh Jackson went on the I Have to Clear My Name tour after he got fired?
No, but this is a Texan Zoom call.
Ron Rivera did it with the Panthers. A little different because he had been there for so long. But that's just a new thing. I don't know. That is a little – here's an interesting tweet from Mike Silver from NFL Media. Last night, Bill O'Brien told me he thought he would be fired. I don't think he met Monday, but here we are. So that's interesting to see what Bill O'Brien's mindset was right now. I think of going to the playoffs in four of the past five seasons and knowing you were almost certainly going to start at least 1-3, if not 0-4, because nobody knew the Vikings were going to be this bad. And this is where you are. So it's just crazy. Here's a fun fact real quick. So he got hired in 2014. Since he was hired, the Houston Texans are the only team in the AFC South that has not made it to the AFC Championship game.
But they did go to the playoffs, as you pointed out. By the way, I don't know if you said, Brinson, Romeo Crennel is the interim coach. I don't know if he said that yet. But he is.
Yes, he is the interim head coach.
Or right, is like-
And as soon as he steps on the field this Sunday, he's going to set the NFL record for the oldest head coach ever in an NFL game.
Wait.
He's 73.
That's not the oldest. There's no way. Like, Marv Levy was ancient.
72.
Marv Levy was
72. George Hollis was 72.
Look at you. All right. Well done. Got a hatchet there, Breach.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the future of the Texans head coaching position.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, so, I mean, again, there's still a little, I mean, all right, Romeo Crennel, the interim. Here's the thing that I think makes this really fascinating. On one hand, this job features a recently signed Deshaun Watson, who inked a long-term contract extension. Deshaun Watson is probably in your top four of guys, of young quarterbacks you would draft, maybe behind Mahomes, Lamar, Joe Burrow.
There it is.
Yeah. Tyler, look, if you're starting a franchise, there is no doubt that Deshaun Watson is one of the top five guys that you want.
All right, that's on the one tiny baby hand. What's on the big Andre the Giant hand?
You don't have a first or second round pick. You just got rid of DeAndre Hopkins.
You can't rebuild your roster. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
You have $255 million in cash being spent on this team that is currently 0-4. I mean,
there's no quick fix.
There's no quick fix. You could be good. I mean, J.J. Watt is a Hall of Famer, but he's
32 now, maybe?
I'm just saying, he's older.
Here's the funny thing, because I was worried this offseason about the things we're talking about now with the L.A. Rams, because they have no draft picks, no salary cap space, and yet they continue to sign people to huge deals. But they have Sean McVay and Les Snead, the coach and GM, who work well together and are clearly good at finding talent. And Jared Goff seems to be playing better this year under a head coach whom he seems to appreciate and most people consider to be really good at his job. Now, the Texans don't have draft picks. I think they have salary cap issues, as you pointed out. They now no longer have a coach. And when they did have the coach, he butted heads with the players or traded away those players that were really good. I think they're in much worse shape than the Rams. The only upside is they don't play in the NFC West.
Yeah, and you look at the Texans salary cap space for 2021. This is the estimation from overthecap.com. As of right now, they're $6 million over the salary cap. So not only do they have to try and rebuild a roster with zero draft picks, but they've also got to trim somewhere because they have to get under the salary cap. So this is just a total disaster. And the only selling point is really Deshaun Watson. So it does seem like when you bring in that new coach, it's got to be an offensive minded coach, which, you know, obviously is the trend right now, but you have to, because you don't have any other choice. It's Deshaun Watson is your franchise and you need a coach that is going to mesh with him. Like Sean McVay, you know, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. It's got to be something like that.
Well, I mean, let's real quickly. I do want to point out that, like, the GM and coach thing, he and DeAndre Hopkins did not see eye to eye.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Like that's why he's in Arizona.
And DeAndre Hopkins wasn't going to play for Arizona until he got more money too. They paid him. But I think the thing is with Hopkins, O'Brien allowed his relationship with Hopkins as a coach and as a GM to become clouded. The one thing that Bill Belichick just doesn't do is that.
Yeah, that is. And speaking of old Billy, I think that's where the Houston Texans might look to hire a coach.
We got to talk about this, by the way. The fact that the preacher for the Patriots is now going to rebuild the Texans organization.
Breach pointed this out to us earlier in the day, but our buddy Steph Stradley is irate about how this is going. Jack's name, right? Jack Easterby?
Yes.
Yeah. And Steph is a very level-headed Texans fan. She was with me and Brinson at Fan House back in the aughts, as they say. But she is unhappy with the development of Jack Easterby, whose resume I was just reading because she was saying how it doesn't qualify him to be a GM. and he's somehow gone there to evaluate the structure of the org chart. And now he ends up, it's like when, God, who was the vice president under George Bush? The last George Bush, what's his name?
Dan Quayle.
No, the younger George Bush.
You know, Dick Cheney?
Dick Cheney. So Dick Cheney was hired to find a vice president during the 2000, lead up 2000 election. And at the end of the day, he's like, you know what? I would be the best vice president. And that sort of feels like what Easterby's done here. He was brought in to find the right fit. And you sort of read through his resume, and it's sort of funny on the Houston Texans website. There's still mention of what he and Bill O'Brien were able to accomplish together. I didn't want to get that off of there. But Steph's concern was that he's not qualified to do this job other than some managerial buzzwords. And I don't know if that's going to fix what's going on there.
Well, and part of that is you look at Easterby. He was literally on the job for like 2 months before he almost got in trouble because he was trying to recruit Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio is with the Patriots. He's in their front office right now. Easterby went to the team Super Bowl ring ceremony in June 2019 and was trying to hire Caserio to be the Texans general manager. And NFL had to investigate tampering charges. That turned into a whole entire thing. And if that's your first like official or I guess unofficial capacity role is, oh, I'm going to show up at the Patriots Super Bowl party in front of Belichick. I'm going to try and recruit one of his top men away from him, right in front of him while we're getting these Super Bowl rings and hope he doesn't notice. Like, are you kidding me? That just screams ignorance. And I don't know that I want someone like that running my franchise. Now you're going to give that guy the power to hire your next head coach and basically handle the future of your organization. Seems a little crazy.
Does it scream ignorance? Or does it scream, I got to keep my eye on this guy because I'm not sure what he's up to.
Let me ask you a question.
I just asked you a question.
What would you ask me?
I think that walking into the lion's den and, you know, punching the lion in the stomach, trying to steal a cub, trying to steal the lion cub is ignorance.
Okay.
So I saw that, Chris Long tweet this and I didn't know this, but, Easterby is buddies, obviously, with people from the Patriots organization. Also apparently friends with this guy who coaches down in South Carolina, goes by the name of,
Dabo Sweeney.
How do you say it, Breach? You said it wrong the other day. Dabo Sweeney?
Dabo.
Dabo Sweeney, who some people might know is Deshaun Watson's college coach. Now, I don't think Dabo would leave Clemson.
Dabo is making $9 million a year, and he is the king of the state of South Carolina. Why in God's name would he go to Houston with an organization? He has no salary cap right now, and he has the best recruiters in the country.
Sure.
They have another five-star quarterback just waiting. That's bigger and stronger than Trevor Lawrence. Under no circumstances. I think Nick Saban would say to him, hey, man, I would ask you to go watch that 2006 tape of me at Miami with the Dolphins and then decide if you want to go coach in
the NFL. I know, but like every coach wants to win at the NFL level at some point. I think so.
I agree with that.
They're
competitive.
If you're a football coach, you have to believe that you can go win a Super Bowl. And this is how often do you get to coach? I mean, look, it's a little bit like Jim Harbaugh and the Colts, maybe in the sense that it was too easy to connect. Was that it? Or was there somewhere else? Somebody else was going
to leave. He didn't go to the Colts. What do you mean?
I'm saying like when there's an opening, like there's an opening for a quarterback. We don't see potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks drafted by a team play for 3 or 4 years. And they typically see like the coach get fired and have an opening. Like it's just, there's just not, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Like back.
Well, then if I'm Dabo, I just wait out Pete Carroll. Dabo. That's what you wanted to hear. If I wait out Pete Carroll, he's not coaching for more than 5 more years. He's 69. That would bring up to 74. Sweeney will be 55. Boom. You go to Seahawks. You coach Russell Wilson
in 5 years.
Russell will be 38.
Yeah. I'm talking about a coach in his prime. Like, I mean, a quarterback in his prime. Like,
what about
Dabo loves Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's in his prime. This is probably
the rest of the team
only
isn't good. Like,
when did
it's a big risk?
When did Jerry run off Jimmy Johnson? Because Troy was in his prime, I would imagine, when he got fired after winning all the Super Bowls. They get fired for different reasons, but that's the only sort of example that comes to mind immediately.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, if Dabo wanted to take the job, he'd get a 10-year deal. I mean, like you.
Here's the thing. Here's the first name that's going to be on the list due to the way things went
Josh
last
McDaniels.
Year. No, Eric Bieniemy. I think he will be probably the first name on the list just because, he got hosed. Who got the job last year that people were whinging about that?
Adam Gase.
Adam Gase, that's right. That's what he didn't get last year, but Adam Gase has a job. Eric Bieniemy doesn't. It's usually the talking point. So I think
we did that Fantasy Football Today Twitch show with me and Asia, and we were talking with Damian Williams, who's pretty cool to be on there. Like, and he was just saying how Bieniemy is just a genius. Like, and he's like, he agreed. He's like, if he was a white former quarterback coaching for Andy Reid, he would definitely have a job. Bieniemy has to be on the list. McDaniels and Caserio obviously have to be on the list. I really don't think you can rule out Dabo entirely.
I think that you could also see the Texans call Greg Roman. You have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, what he's done with Lamar Jackson. I think that would be interesting. I think, who's the Bills offense coordinator? Brian Daboll.
So wait a second. No, you're right. So Jack Easterby, is he going to be named GM? Is that, or is he still the executive vice president?
I think he will hire a GM and a coach.
Oh, so Steph is, what is she angry about then? I thought she was angry about him being GM because
she's angry because they're letting the preacher from the Patriots rebuild the entire Texans organization.
Gotcha. Okay. Cause I think Caserio would be an obvious choice for general manager based on what Breach has told us about the last time those two tried to get together, and also because he's well respected. But we've seen the, can you rebuild the Patriots somewhere outside of New England storyline before? And it never works.
Well, that's what it looked like Bill O'Brien was trying to do. That's why you're general manager and head coach. Bill Belichick's the only other person that's doing that as the general manager and head coach successfully. So,
you know what? It's funny you say that, Breach, because Scott Pioli said yesterday on HQ before we knew about Bill O'Brien losing his job, he was talking about the Texans playing poorly. He said Belichick doesn't do it all. I mean, it looks like that, but there are 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 people, however many people, making decisions sort of together and coming to a consensus. So you don't get the sense that that's what Bill O'Brien's doing.
You get the sense Bill O'Brien was those 7, 8, or 9 or 10 people.
Right.
They were all Bill O'Brien.
He has like cardboard cutouts like you see in the stands, but they're all Bill O'Brien around the conference table.
Great idea, Bill. Offense coordinator, Bill. I like the game plan. General manager, Bill. Great move.
I mean, I think taking the job as GM is tough, man. Like,
who? Not for Nick Caserio. He'll get a 5-year deal.
And, well, that's the thing is if you can convince Josh McDaniels and Nick Caserio to come and be a package.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's possible.
It's not a bad job unless, you know, it's not easy working for Jack Easterby. No one has any idea like what that would be like. I don't know the man. I didn't know what he looked like until I just saw his picture on the website.
But he looks like the type of guy who would get hired by a football team, maneuver his way into a position of power, and then get fired the guy who hired him.
Well,
all while wearing like a smocked collar, like, yes, Jesus is one. You know, like, did you just Game of Thrones Bill O'Brien while holding a Bible? That is impressive, little finger.
Straight out of Central Casting, as they say.
I don't know. I just think.
Look, this is not a bad job. Yes, the salary cap's an issue, but we talked about it. You have Deshaun Watson. You have a fan base that's really excited about it. But so who got hired last year? So Joe Judge is in a much worse situation with the Giants.
Sure.
Who else got hired last year? I can't even remember. My brain's fried.
McCarthy.
Eesh. I might rather have the Texans job just because there's less pressure.
Kevin Stefanski.
He's doing better.
Stefanski could lose 5 games in a row and be fired midseason for all we know.
Right. That job came with a lot of concerns, and he's doing well right now.
Here's what clearly happened. Ron Rivera.
Matt Rule.
6-year deal. All these guys got long.
Right. Exactly.
But here's clearly what happened with the Texans is that Bill O'Brien managed to make a lot of players mad. Jack Easterby got the sense of it. Easterby doesn't want to be fired too. So Easterby sort of like cozied up to Cal McNair, convinced him that he's the guy who, you know, really got the leadership going in New England or something like that. And he has now been turned into the football czar in Houston. And I would bet that like Bill O'Brien just sort of, I sort of wonder now, like, were the moves he made this summer and some of the moves he made, did he think the heat was on him? Did he know that the heat was on?
To go back to the Game of Thrones reference, you got the sense. And this sort of points to what you're talking about over the summer. You got the sense that he knew he was running out of allies. So he's scrambling to try to make something, anything work to buy more time. And, you know,
trading DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson and Brandon Cooks is the sort of crazy thing somebody who's all tilting does.
That's reeks of desperation.
Right. It's like, I know, I'll reinvent the offense.
Well, and that's what, you know, Mike Silver was saying yesterday. Talked to Bill O'Brien. He said he thought he was going to be fired eventually. And I think he kind of read the writing on the wall. And, but that's what happens when you torpedo the organization. If he had started 4-0, then, you know, you walk into the owner's office, you say, hey, look, my decisions were crazy, but they all worked. But if you make crazy decisions, they don't work, you're gone. Like, there's no other option.
I didn't think he would get fired because I didn't think that there was anybody to fire him.
Right. No, that was the fair concern. You also had this.
The pandemic theory.
Yeah, that pandemic theory, which I thought was sort of nuts, but you can mark that one off.
Well, yeah. And I would say too that now that pandemic theory is really out the window. Like now it's floodgates.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is bad news for Matt Patricia.
Brandon, that's 100% true because now if you're the Jets owner, you're like, all right, now I don't feel so dumb firing Gase or guilty or bad. Like you can kick anyone to the curb at this point.
Yeah, I mean, these coaches still get paid. Like, but now it's like, all right, like plus you're like, well, they might be looking for candidates. We got Greg Williams. Like we need to figure out, you know, blah, 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 blah. You could definitely see it.
We haven't said this, but clearly it sucks losing your job and no one wants Bill O'Brien to get fired, but he didn't do a good job. And that's why we're having this conversation. But I think, perhaps more than Adam Gase or Matt Patricia, for example, who will probably end up going back to be offensive defense coordinators in the NFL. Bill O'Brien could go back to college. Debo, how did you like him at Penn State?
He was a very welcome addition at a pretty difficult time.
Yeah.
That was my sophomore year. He was named the head coach. You know, they didn't have the best records. They were like 7-6 or 8-5 or 6-6. He did what he was needed to do. And the NFL is just a different beast. And you're not asked to be kind of, and what he didn't like doing at Penn State was kind of being the rep and being the spokesperson for the entire school. But he also wasn't that good at doing multiple jobs in Houston either.
Yeah. His persona may actually fit college better, where you can yell and scream at kids and to get them to respond, whereas grown men typically don't respond as well to being yelled and screamed at. And I don't mean, you know, belittling kids or whatever we were calling it now, bullying them, but just like coaching them. So maybe that fits his profile better than what he was unable to do with the NFL.
Yeah, and real quick, O'Brien's contract was supposed to run through 2022, so I'm pretty sure – all NFL coaching contracts are guaranteed, so he's paid through 2 more years. Mm. He can just sit and chill and wait for a new job.
I do wonder if this hurts his chances as OC, though, because his offense did not look good. Like, he was great as a quarterback's coach with Tom Brady and so on and so forth, but I wonder either if he has to go back to coaching or has to, like, go a couple steps down, like the offensive QB coach or something.
I would almost guess that he ends up back in New England.
I mean, that could happen, too. He could be one of the whatever. Who's the OC in New England? I don't even know who. Oh, it's Josh
McDaniels. Sorry. Well, if he goes to Houston, just trade. Then you bring O'Brien to New England.
Yeah. Look, this is a hot mess. You fire a GM, let the coach make a ton of trades. This is like when Al Davis died and Hugh Jackson just did whatever he wants. And except there was no... Like those
I was going to say, those teams won a little bit with Carson.
But if it's 8-8, missed the playoffs.
These teams won too, though, until this year. So I can't hold that against Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bill O'Brien out as Texans head coach. Make sure and check back in. We'll have Brady Quinn on the Brady Quinn Football Show coming up Wednesday. I'm sure Brady will have some hot takes about that. And, of course, we'll recap Monday Night Football. Tons of content coming to you on the podcast feed. We're going to keep Ryan up till 2 a.m., baby. 9 a.m., 9 p.m. kickoff. Can't wait to talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.